This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Yaku. Really a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for having us. All I can say, it's very far to drive by car where we come from. Someone told me this morning, because I didn't even check the speedometer, but I think it's a thousand. Did I drive 2,000? Now I'm tired. Just for a moment before I start preaching, I think it will fit in somewhere. But I'm still at the pool, and God was just showing me something. We stopped. We didn't drive all the way. We stopped a few places because it's a holiday that we take as well. And we stopped there at one place where we slept over. A beautiful, beautiful setup. And we stood only there one night, and then before we went back to our camp, we took the children to swim. And I've got a 4-year-old. Boy, and then I've got Hubert is his name, and then I've got a little girl, Fia, she's 8, and then I've got Kardu, who's 10, okay, so, and they lively, you know, they like this. So we got to this pool, but there was already people there, but they weren't swimming, they were sunbathing, so they were, and they were very white, you know. So they from somewhere in Europe, you know. So they were sunbathing there on that side, and there was this tranquil atmosphere, you know, very dignified, I must say. That's what I. So yeah, we rock, we hot, we warm, we tired, you know. So, and we tried, as parents, we tried our best to tone down the kids, you know. But they like, hey, here's water. There's a pool. You know, I think that's what's going on in their mind. Who would put a pool here in the middle of a desert and you can't swim in it? So they're like, and immediately, you know, the dignified people, they didn't, you know how dignified European people are. They don't say, we offended now. They make you feel we're offended now. You know, it was kind of like this. And we eventually said, no, don't splash, you know, just wait. You know, and your bad is like, I mean, he's 4 years old. He's like, Mama! So sorry, I don't want to, but it's funny. So he's like, he's got this little bathing suit and he's like, his manhood, you know, it's like very showing there. So he's like, honestly, Mama, look. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So after a while, I left. I just walked away. But as we were worshiping, I just felt we should really rebuke the stiffer up lip inside of us. You know, I was thinking, God, thank you for us being colonized as Africans. Thank you for the railroads and for the administration, but can they maybe keep the stiff upper lip? I don't want that. And I just think many times with worship, and I was reminded of David, you know, David dancing before the ark in the presence of God. And then what's his wife? What's her name? No. David's wife, the one that complained about him being undignified. Yeah, Saul's daughter. But what, can you remember her name? Can somebody please look it up? Because I want to call it the spirit of that woman. And as we were worshiping, I just realized many times we get into God's presence. I'm not talking about clapping and singing and dancing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the condition of our hearts and minds here, because some of us, we're rocking it inside. We're worshiping God big time, but we're not a very expressive people. I'm talking about that attitude in our hearts where we look at other people many times, or even what the Spirit wants to do, and then we judge and we criticize on the inside. And I just feel many times, you know, we should check on our insides, because I'm like that. You know, and I'm gonna bring this to prayer just now. But we are like stiffer upper people just wanting to lie next to the pool. And I mean, they start lying next to the pool. I'm not mocking that. But sometimes there's just this opportunity. What I should have done as the father, I should have set the example to my children that when you're hot and you see a pool, you should just like splash, blah, and hit, you know, the European people lying there with the water dripping off them and just ignite something on the inside, and they must go like, yes, we want to get in the pool as well. But I didn't. And I realized many times we allow religion to cause our pool not to be fun. You know what I'm saying? And we copy one another many times. I become just as dignified as the other person because I don't want to offend someone. I don't want to offend someone now. So I miss out on the cool of the pool, you know? And I mean, I don't do Speedos, not at all. Don't even try to imagine that. Because I know the moment I said Speedo, some of you thought about a red Speedo, didn't you? You did. You thought Baywatch. I don't do Speedos, but I do splashing. I love a splash every now and again. But many times, you know, we are like people that comes out of a very thick winter. And then I don't want to get to the pool. I don't want to take off my shirt before I'm not in shape. You know, or I'm not going to take off my, you know, I need a suntan first. Did you get that name? Michelle. Something. But okay, but... That spirit of that woman, don't let that jump on. Michal, you say, maybe people say, Michal. Michal is like, because David told her, he said, I will become more undignified than this. And David was a man after God's own heart, ne? He was a worshiper. And you know, the sad thing for me is, and maybe we can draw a parallel to that, what happened to that woman, if I'm not mistaken, she was barren. She couldn't bring forth children. And we have to appreciate that worship, and I'm talking about the heart here and the mind. Worship is the highest form of prayer. It's one of the highest forms of prayer. So you guys, when you were singing, you were praying. I mean, because prayer is talking to God. That's what it is. You know, and we're talking about that. You know, and I was just thinking about many times, just coming back to us not wanting to get into the pool many times. It's like we get out of winter and we didn't spend time in the gym, you know. So usually when I do this here, it goes like, because it's just six pack all over. Do you want to see? No, you don't want to see. But now you're coming out of winter and it's like, there's nothing there. And many times we like that. You know, I don't want to get into my swimming trunks before I'm not in shape. So we come to church many times and we are like, just we're coming out of a spiritual winter. Now we trust that church is going to, and it does, ne? It does. It does because there's people jumping in the pool. And you're like, oh, that looks like fun. Maybe I should get into the pool as well. But what should have happened is we should have hit the gym during winter times so that with confidence, no, I can come to the pool. That's not what pools are there for, by the way. It's not a fashion parade. Pools are there to enjoy the splash of the pool and the sun on the side as well. But I just think many times what happens in our prayer life determines the way that we express as well. And our expression is a witness. It's a witness that we've got a loving God. We've got a God that's given us freedom. And we should not... You know, and I know culture plays a major role, you know, and your personality as well. But I know there's a place where we have to transcend that. We have to get, sometimes just get beyond that. Church is supposed to be dignified. And I'm all for order. I'm all for order, church order. But I don't understand, you know, when you walk past a church and it says, quiet please, prayer in progress. I don't understand that. For me, the prayer inside should be louder than the guy that makes the noise outside. I mean, what, are we deaf? It's like, can't we hear God when it's... And I know there's a place for that as well, guys. I know there's a place, you just want quietness. But when we do corporate prayer, you know, I'm like one of those guys. I want it to be... And like Jaco said so beautifully this morning, he said, keep it in the spirit. Keep it in the spirit. Don't go in the flesh. That's easy as well. But we can be... I think we struggle more keeping quiet in the spirit than we keep quiet... We keep quiet in the flesh. You know what I'm saying? We think when something is loud, it's not in the spirit anymore. Okay, but let me get back to my sermon. I'm obviously not going to finish. So the thing this morning that we talked about is the question I have to answer is intercession a specialized ministry? Is praying for someone else, standing in the gap for someone else, is it a specialized ministry? And the reason why the question is being asked is because when we have a speaker that is famous, an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or whatever, you know, it's marketed and everything, and then we pack out venues. These people are packed out. But when we have prayer meetings, people don't pitch. You know why? It's because we have been conditioned, you know. We've been conditioned for entertainment. And we always want something new, and we want something, and it's fine. I mean, God always brings revelation. We should trust God for revelation. But what we're trying to address, if I'm correctly as well, is a lot of stuff we want to address, I think, with this series. But one of the things is that we want to address the perception that it is specialized and only for a few people to focus on. And we want to break that thing. We want to break that thing, and it's not just this church. I struggle with that. Everybody struggles with that. You have your few holy people that they're going to do the intercession. You know, they're going to pray. So let them do that. You know, God has given the fivefold ministry. The pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the teachers, that's all of them, no? The evangelists, yes. You know, and they equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. You know, and then you've got this handful of people that's supposed to pray for them. But the truth is, God has called each and every one of us for prayer ministry. And I'm not just talking about my quiet time at home or my family. That is of utmost importance. My quiet time is where I am in the gym. That is where I pump the iron. That is where God downloads stuff in my life. That is the example that Christ set us. He went to the mountains and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed through the night, and then he would come down and he would minister. You know? So the thing we want to talk about today is, the question I want to ask is, do we really want revival? Do we want revival? And obviously the right answer is yes, we want revival. But I asked another question. I asked the question, what is revival? You know? And revival simply means that God's kingdom comes here on earth. His kingdom comes here on earth, and we experience it. The word revival comes from the word revive, to wake up, to make new. There's some other words, resuscitate, recover, recuperate, regain consciousness. You know? So the picture I have is that the Spirit of God is in us, you know, and He wants out. He wants out. And we have a role to play in that. We have a role to make the kingdom of God come in our lives. Okay? But if we negate or delegate prayer just to a few people, and I'm talking mainly about corporate prayer here as well, where we come together as church and we pray. If we like, well, And it's a mind shift here. If we're like, well, they're good at that, let them do that. You know, we're missing out. We're missing out. Because everything in the kingdom is built on prayer and on worship. The stuff that remains is where prayer took place. And we have the privilege to be part of what God does. God is always on the move. And when God takes the first step, God, did we create the heaven and earth? No, God took the first step and he created. He said, let there be light. And he started off there. And then he speaks to us. You know, he says, he tells Abraham, he says, okay, Abraham, move from your country. And then Abraham must either respond or not respond. And then God intervenes again. You know? So God's always on the move and he invites us to get into the pool. And we can decide, no, I don't. Let somebody else get in the pool. Let somebody else pray. Let somebody else get in shape. You know? I'll just be a passenger. I'll just tag along for the ride. And when we are in that mindset, church, that's when we've become religious, dead religious. Okay? We do not enjoy and we do not walk in what God has for us. So revival has an influence on everything. The moment somebody gets saved, revival has taken place. But I believe the revival that we're praying for is a revival that influences governments. It's political, it's educational, it's financial, it's massive. We're trusting God for something like that. But if we do not start with our own hearts, we will not get there. And when we hear about the word revival, we many times think God must pour out his spirit, you know. But God has done that already, you know. And revival take place when the people of God prays. So I want to say this as well. I want to say that a praying church will usher in revival. If we have lost the desire to see people saved, we backslidden. If we do not celebrate when somebody gives his heart to the Lord, either in church or in small group or where you've prayed for someone out there, if that doesn't excite us, that spirit of Michal is on us. We don't celebrate that. You know? We have to celebrate every form of revival that there is. Every breakthrough that somebody has. For some people, a breakthrough, just to lift their hand from here to here in worship. I know there's a lot of humor going up. You know, some people, they worship like this, and that's really radical. And then when you get up here, I mean, then you're rocking it, you know. So if your hand is up there, revival has truly broken out, brothers and sisters. And I'm making a joke about that, but many times that's something that we really have to celebrate as well. We've got to walk up to somebody and say, yes, man, I see you've been delivered from that stiff upper lip. Hallelujah, you know. And those legs that didn't want to move, look at you swaying about. Man, that's an awesome breakthrough, you know. And I'm not promoting a charismatic, what do you call it, exhibitionistic movement. You know, but what's in, want to bubble out. It should come out. And we should watch the stuff that want to inhibit us, the religiousness inside of us. Okay, so what I want to come to is I have to answer this question. In Acts 26, I want to read this. So this is Paul, but he's still Saul. He just fell off his horse. So he's like blind. He's like a bit... what's happening here? Where's Damascus? Is it that way? Is it that way? You know, Jesus is appearing to him. So Paul says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Meaning, I will deliver you from the religion, the culture. I will deliver you from the stiff upper lip. That just came to me right here now. You know? So it's like myself. I need a lot of Afrikanerness to get out of me. You know, I grew up in a church where this is how we worshipped. This was the most radical it got. Okay, we didn't worship like this, by the way. We just sat down and then we got up and we sang. And I had to learn to worship. I had to see from example, how do you become like David? How do you express, you know? And the longer, you know, you stay in your winter, the harder it gets for you, you know, to get to the summer of the pool. Okay? Where am I? Verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I'm not going to read all the scriptures there, but Ephesians 2, it says the same. God made us alive and he took us, you know, out of one kingdom and he placed us in another kingdom. And he wants us to walk, that's what Ephesians says, in the works that he prepared for us beforehand. But if we sit in the one kingdom, okay, with the kingdom of God, for instance, we're sitting there and we have not shaken off the characteristics of the kingdom of darkness, it's got an influence on us. It's got an influence on how we speak. Because God revives us. He gives us a prayer language. He gives us gifts. He gives us a new character. He gives us, we're coming under new authority. We become ambassadors for Christ. We come under a new authority so that we can operate in a new authority. Okay? So when you pray in the year of our Lord, AD, now in this kingdom, you pray in a different authority. You pray in a powerful authority. Okay? I want to say there is a specialization. Because the world that we live in, people say, well, the God that everybody prays to is the same God. Doesn't matter what religion you come from. All prayers go to the same God, which is rubbish. Okay? There's people that are praying, and they're praying to demons. They're praying to idols. They're praying to false gods. So in that sense, prayer is specialized. God revives you. He saves you. He takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and whatever that represents. And he places you in the kingdom of light. And he says, I put the Holy Spirit inside of you. You are my special people. You know, so when you speak to me, there is a special conversation going on in there as well. Are you with me? And then the other thing that I just mentioned as well is prayer, in a sense, is a specialized ministry when we pray as a group many times as well. Then there's a type of a protocol, you know, and every church is different. You know, and I made a joke about, you know your people that's passionate about prayer, but we only have 1 hour to pray, you know, because it's early in the morning and people got to go off to work. And that guy, he takes over the whole prayer and he prays the whole hour. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't even want to say amen. You know, that I get up at 5:30 in the morning, I want to pray as well. You know, but he's praying. And it's week in and week out, so I don't want to come anymore. You know. And he always prays about his ancestors and their problems and the influence it has on us here now in this day. And so in that sense, we must be taught as a group how to pray and to intercede as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, so don't be offended by whoever leads the intercession sometimes when they say, whoa, please just keep it short and keep it to topic. And, you know, and I think that's what the whole series wants to address as well. In that sense, it's specialized. But it's not specialized that it is meant for only a few people. So let's go to Exodus 19, verse 5 to 6. It's around about, I don't know, slide 10. Oh, there you've got it already. It says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Okay. Now, I get this stuff from Tani Suzette Hatteng. She did a whole intercession thing last year in Wellington. Who of you guys have started to watch her things? Amazing, ne? So it's available on the show for online. I want to encourage you guys, you know, to go and watch that on your own as well. But I mean, when I heard this stuff, I was like, amen, amen, amen. You know, many times you feel something on the inside, but you don't know how to express it. So I'm just touching on a few things here. And what she said is, if you read this here in Exodus, this was God's plan A. His plan A was that the whole nation, and I mean the church represents the nation, is a holy priesthood. It is a kingdom of priests. And that same idea goes forth in, we read it in the New Testament, in we read it in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. If you can just get that on there as well. I'm going to read so long. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So there's a specialization in. You're a special people. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay? To proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And what you should hear here is, when you hear the word priesthood, you should always think intercession, prayer, because that is what the priests did. God's plan A was that everybody pray. Okay? If you go and read Exodus, you go and read that the whole thing in context, you'll see God, He tells the people to prepare themselves because He's going to come down the mountain in a cloud because He wants to meet with them. He wants to be in their midst. Okay? And when He did that, the people ran away. They're still running away from prayer and from His presence. Still don't want to get in the pool. Okay? So they said, Moses, you listen to God. You listen to what He wants to say, and then you come and tell us. Let there be a mediator. And that thing still happens in the church. There's a pastor. He must pray. I mean, he's trained. You're trained, aren't you? Yeah, hopefully. It's like me. I'm not a theologian, for instance, by the way. So if you find something wrong with my doctrine, there's no surprise. I'm not surprised. You can take me apart. I thought I would end up being a farmer. You know, I'm an agricultural economist. You know, theology and doctrine and stuff. I'm like, guys, I mess it up a lot of times. But I love prayer. I love prayer. And I think one of my greatest prayers is, God, help me to pray more and more effectively, and help the church to pray more and more effectively. What is the whole royal priesthood? What is the whole kingship about? That is about authority. That is about power. That is about the place where the preaching takes place. That is where the people get saved. That is the place where miracles happen. That is the place where the dead are raised. That is the place where signs and wonders take place. And that is the stuff that we are attracted to. But for every miracle that takes place, somewhere someone has prayed. You know? We probably won't know their names ever. Maybe one day in heaven there'll be a whole plaque or board or something on there. The fact that I'm still in ministry is because other people prayed for me whom I'll never know who they are. And I think we as a church, we really sell prayer short. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what are the things that causes us not to pray more and more effectively? Because God is faithful. He's a rewarder of those who diligently, faithfully seek His face. And He calls the church to be a house of prayer. He says, I called that my house shall be a house of prayer, yet you have made it a den of robbers. And I asked myself, if Jesus was referring to the temple, the physical temple, my house shall be a house of prayer. Okay, that temple has been destroyed. But He didn't say, my house was a house of prayer. My house shall be a house of prayer. He was referring to us, His church, to every reborn believer. Okay?
Verstaan julle Afrikaans? Ons het 'n grappie en ons het 'n grappie in Woester vertaal. Hulle sê in Woester jy kan oor enigiets spreek. Moet net nie oor 'n uur preek nie.
You can preach it doesn't sound right in English, but it you can preach about anything, just don't preach over an hour. Okay,
oor 'n uur. Ja, vang jy hom.
Peter Luyten never. Moenie worry nie, ek gaan nou klaar maak. Okay. So the question I ask myself with that is, if Christ said, my house shall be a house of prayer, he was referring to me. He was referring to you. So I'm asking myself, Rick, what in your life, in my life, is causing me to make the my house of prayer a den of robbers? What is robbing God from prayer time? What is robbing God from me interceding and praying for other people, standing in the gap for the nation, standing in the gap for unbelievers? What are the idols and the stuff that I am giving more time and attention to that's distracting me? You know, these days with the cell phones and all the social media stuff, it kills prayer time. It kills us connecting with God. And when we like moments like this, when we experience the presence of God, there's something that comes alive again. There's a little on the flame, you know? And God wants us, I really believe, he wants us to experience his presence daily. Those moments that we have with him, those moments that he ignites. And then when we come together, you know, we like, I told Jaco the other day, I'm just realizing more and more, you know, we've been taught to say amen when somebody prays. You pray, I pray, and then when you pray, I say amen. But I really believe that what God wants is that amen is not a verbal amen, is that something inside of me burn the same way it burns in your heart. And when you pray that, it's my spirit that says amen. It's not just a word that I speak. And the only way that we're going to get a corporate amen is if, as individuals, we spend time with God, okay, and he starts speaking. Let's just say we're going to be more effective. I want to say that. Obviously, he speaks to us in the group as well, and when we get together. But if he downloads stuff in us and we come and I'm like, I want to pray this morning, or I want to pray it today. And then my brother prayed, it's as if he takes the words out of my mouth. You know, you've experienced that when you do corporate prayer. You know, he takes the words out of my mouth, and then all I can say on the inside is, amen, amen. There's unity, there's an agreement. And I really believe that is what God wants from his nation. So, yeah, still a lot of stuff I think we can say, but we should probably close up. When Freddie comes and sit here, I usually know his next step is going to go there. He's going to take the guitar, and then we're almost done. The other thing that I just quickly want to mention is, in Joel 2 verse 17, it says, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And that porch is not a car. Right, it's not like Ferrari porch. Yeah, I'm weeping because I hit it. Somebody hit it with a rock. The porch and the altar. The altar was the outside altar where they burnt the animals. And then the porch was the area between that altar towards the outer the courts where the people were, where they were standing. So it the picture that we have to see is what God tells his ministers here. He tells his priests here, which now include all of us. I want you to stand between the place where I am, where you represent me, and where you represent the people. You know? And many times what we do is as a people, as pastors and people that want to minister to other people, is we do not spend time at the altar of God. We do not spend time in our inner rooms, and then we want to go and minister. You know, and I'm not talking about Sunday ministry here.
I'm talking about each one of us having to ask ourselves, why am I not drawn to people, or why do I not want to see people get saved? Why is people not? Because all of us have the responsibility to evangelize. Okay? I know I'm not an evangelist. I don't draw thousands and thousands. I do not have that gifting upon me. But I cannot excuse myself not to do the work of an evangelist. The same for the other gifts. We all have to pastor. That gift isn't, that office isn't on everyone. But if we do not spend time in God's presence, and that's why I think many times we do like morning prayer, for instance, if we get to that. If you don't grab your cell phone first and read Facebook or whatever, because that's the in thing these days. You roll out of your bed and you're on social media immediately. And then we don't understand why my day is flat. You know? So when we eventually get to a place where we have quiet time, we pray about our own stuff and our own issues. And I really believe God will answer more of our prayers if we start praying in line with His kingdom and His will. If we put time out, not just one day, a few mornings, it becomes a lifestyle, it becomes a habit where we cry out to God, we cry out for the people, we cry out for the nation, and we say, God, it burns so inside of me today, you've got to let me connect with somebody to share the gospel with them. That's the kind of prayers I believe God wants to answer. But if we do not spend time with Him where He stirs a compassion inside of us, why would He entrust us with people? You know? And I think many times, per chance, you know, we run into somebody and we tell them about Jesus. But the great command was not a suggestion. He tells us to go into the world. And that world can be the neighbor next door. But I know I'm effective and I know I have a love. I become, as pastors, we become people tired many times. But if I do a prayer and a fast, you know, for a day or two or three, there's something inside of me that gets stirred up again. A compassion for people. And I really believe that the community that God wants, a praying community. Talking to Him, talking to one another. Loving Him, loving one another. And that will be established when we connect with Him. When we speak to Him. When we speak to Him about one another. Many times we complain to Him about one another. But He gives a compassion for us. He gives a compassion for us. Freddie, ek hoor niks. Dankie. Let's stand. Father, I just want to come today, Lord, and just as a pastor and as a spiritual leader, Lord, I want to come and repent, Lord, before the people. Lord, where we might have taken, Lord, prayer and we made it a specialized ministry, or that's the perception that we created. And truth be told, Lord, is we so need people to pray with us, Lord. We so need, Father God, Lord, to stand in agreement with them, Lord. We so, Father God, need, Lord, to share victories with them, Lord. God, we so need, Lord, to create a prayer culture, Lord, so that the next generation, Lord, can see how this generation is praying. We so, Father God, need a generation of prayer warriors, Lord, to stand up on the shoulders, Lord, of those that has gone before them, Lord. And so we want to come as a church and we just want to humble ourselves before You, Lord. We want to repent, Lord, of the distractions that causes us, Lord, to make us Your house a den of robbers, robbing You of precious time, robbing You of precious prayers, Lord. We want to say we're sorry about that, Lord. And I ask for a conviction of Your Spirit, Lord. I ask, Father God, Lord, that Lord, when we want to run to our addictions, God, that You will convict us, Lord, and that we will sacrifice those stuff to spend time with You, to spend time on our knees, to get, Father God, enthusiastically, Lord, into that pool and enjoy Your presence, Lord. but God, that you will stir inside of us a desire, Lord, to draw others into your presence. Father, we want to thank you that you have taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. You've placed us in the kingdom of light. You've given us a new identity, a new authority, new characteristics. You've given us a new language. Thank you, God, that we know prayer, Lord, is special because we speak to our God and He speaks to us. But God, we also know that prayer is not that special, Lord, that it's just for a few. Thank you that it's for everyone. Thank you that all of us can hear your voice. And thank you that all of us can walk into your presence anytime and cry out to you, Lord. Thank you that you are a loving, holy Father, and that we can be part of your holy family, your holy nation. And thank you for the great works that you have prepared for us to walk in. Help us, Lord, to get on your plan and on your program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.